AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. It's fantasy football season around here. A lot of you had your fantasy football draft maybe over the weekend, but most of you, I have a feeling, Labor Day weekend is coming and you're going to be drafting. So Davis and I today will preview the Los Angeles Chargers. We're previewing one team each day all the way through opening night of the upcoming NFL season. Davis, hope you had a good weekend. Ready to dive into the Chargers today. A very good offense and lots of fantasy stars on this team as well.
I did. I had a great weekend. I had my home league draft with all my friends from high school and college. Got a round of golf in, so absolutely no complaints. And look, you know, we got to the end of the NFL preseason. All the games have been played. We escaped, Craig. No top 100 player suffered a season-ending injury. I don't think we'll ever see anything like this in an offseason again.
Yeah, definitely an anomaly, I would say, for three preseason games. And of course, coming to a close, as Davis mentioned, cutdown days, though, are coming over the next few days. And that's something that we're going to be focused on here a lot on this show. But let's start with our headlines here. Unfortunately, some really, really shocking and unfortunate news yesterday for a potential fantasy running back in Brian Robinson. Thinking about him and certainly his health at this point, as he was shot multiple times in an attempted carjacking. He had really, you know, made a statement for himself this offseason and preseason. Ron Rivera just met with the media a few minutes ago and said timetable just to be determined at this point, not even thinking about that, just thinking about his health for sure. American League Cy Young Award favorite Justin Verlander left Sunday's start with a calf injury. We're not sure if this is injured list worthy yet, but we will certainly wait to find out. Houston is headed toward the postseason and potentially the World Series, so they're going to get him healthy before we see him again. Rory McIlroy overcomes a six-shot deficit to win the Tour Championship. So Rory Mac back on the board. And Davis, college football, fast and furious coming at us this weekend, no doubt. And maybe the first game of the season was the most exciting game of the day, as Nebraska, with a huge lead in Ireland over Northwestern, boy, they literally gave this game away, an onside kick. I was watching this. It's just kind of a sad ending, I think, for Nebraska. But nonetheless, it was great to have football back on television Saturday, that's for sure.
It was great. I watched a bunch of the college football, watched some of the preseason action. I mean, this is neither here nor there, but the Broncos backup offense actually looked pretty good with Josh Johnson in there, which just kind of gave me some hope and some faith in the signal callers there in Denver. Definitely loved the return of Western Kentucky University college football. They run that, you know, explosive air raid offense. They put up 38 points, and just honestly, it's the fall. It is so lovely to have college football back on the TV. Like, it's the best.
Yep, definitely so. No doubt about it. I'm looking forward to this coming weekend where all the good teams are in action. And of course, we have Labor Day weekend coming up as well. All right, we're going to dive into the Chargers coming up next, and we'll go play by play as far as the players are concerned. What is your overview this year on the Chargers, Davis? Naturally, this is a team in terms of like win total and standings that is expected to make a pretty big leap. My fear always with the team called the Chargers, Davis, is at any time they're expected to make a leap and expected to be good. Boy, they have disappointed through the years. I wonder if this year will be different.
Craig, I look at it the exact same way that you do. I mean, how many years have we heard it is the Chargers' year? San Diego, Los Angeles, doesn't matter. Now, I think they are going to be fantastic. They are still operating under Justin Herbert's rookie contract. That is a huge advantage. You know, for example, their divisional rivals, Derek Carr makes a bunch of money. Russell Wilson makes a bunch of money. Patrick Mahomes has the biggest contract in the NFL. That has meant that their divisional rivals have to spend, you know, they have less money to spend on edge rushers, less money to spend on quarterbacks. They have, you know, a defensive player of the year candidate. They signed a couple impact defensive free agents. They look like they had a huge home run with Josh Palmer in the third round last season, you know, so their offense is going to be any, but at the end of the day, this is how I feel about the Los Angeles Chargers. You got to show me you can do it. You got to show me that you can go into Arrowhead and win a game. You got to show me that you have that championship pedigree. For how much we love Justin Herbert, he's not played in a playoff game, right? Patrick Mahomes, 4 years of starting, 4 conference championships. Like, just having Patrick Mahomes means you're making a conference championship. And maybe that'll flip this year. You know, maybe the Chargers will be as good as everyone thinks. They'll win 13 games. Herbert will win MVP. I think all of those things are totally possible, well within the range of outcomes, but I don't view that as the most likely outcome for this season, and I think we will get pretty deep into that over the rest of the show. And obviously, I'm a little biased, right? I love the Chiefs. I love Patrick Mahomes, so I won't pretend to not be a little bit biased, but I do. It does stick in my jaw a little bit to see them get so much respect despite having not won anything as of yet.
And listen, when you don't expect anything from the Chargers, they play very well. And from a wagering perspective as well, the best bet, it seems like, in football the last 5 years is when the Chargers are at home and they're a favorite and the line is inflated, you can take the other side pretty much to the bank. But when they're a dog, you know, it feels pretty good. From a fantasy perspective, I can't wait to dive in to see if that is the same approach where a lot of these guys potentially are overrated. And we'll take a look at the average draft position in the NFFC. For all of the Chargers' offensive skill players coming up next, so this will help you with...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Fantasy football drafts that are coming up this week and this weekend right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay with us here on the grid. We'll take a look at Herbert, Eckler, Spiller, the young rookie, their wide receivers, their tight ends, and see if we can identify a couple of sleepers on this team as well, because the Chargers have been no secret to sleepers in fantasy, that is for sure, over the last few years. So we're off and running here on this Monday. Great to be back with you here after the weekend as we preview, from a fantasy perspective, the Los Angeles Chargers next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Today, our team previews of the upcoming fantasy football season begin here this week with the Los Angeles Chargers. And Davis, we're going to go through the average draft position according to the National Fantasy Football Championships of all of their players. So let's take a look very quickly here at their grid as far as where the players are going. We have Justin Herbert, who's being taken approximately third round, so still a top five, top six quarterback in fantasy. Austin Eckler's ADP is number 3 overall. We'll have to dive into that. Isaiah Spiller will potentially be his backup, being drafted very late in the top 200. Keenan Allen's ADP is second round, the early third. Mike Williams is a fourth round pick, early fifth. And then Gerald Everett is their tight end, who's being basically just not drafted. 17th, 18th round, essentially one of the final tight ends off the board. So Herbert was probably the most wrong I've been on a quarterback, I would say, in a long time, Davis. I just watched him play a lot in college, played with an unbelievable offensive line, and boy, he just totally proved me wrong. Like, he has been as good as any young quarterback we've seen come through the league. You know, he and Joe Burrow have been, you know, both fantastic. And, you know, for the numbers that he had last year, I know he doesn't run a ton, but, I mean, these numbers are incredible, Davis. Like, I mean, 5,000 yards and 38 touchdowns for a player this young. If he's 10% better, these numbers are going to be, like, Hall of Fame trajectory worthy. So, I mean, I guess I got to stop doubting him.
Yeah, I mean, I am not in a position to be doubting him either at this point. And, you know, he does run enough to include that, to think about that in his fantasy football totals. You know, he ran for 302 yards and 3 touchdowns last year. His rookie year, he ran for 5 touchdowns. I would consider this very similar to what we have seen from, like, Aaron Rodgers, when Rodgers was kind of at the peak of his powers, an MVP candidate every year, the number one overall quarterback in fantasy football, where he would run for like 404 any given year. I do think Herbert is probably being overdrafted a little bit, though, because the guys directly behind him have way more rushing upside, right? Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's going to run for 1,000 yards if he stays healthy. Kyler's going to run for 700 yards if he stays healthy. I mean, Trey Lance could literally break the record for quarterback rushing yards if he stays, you know, and it's like the Trey Lance thing, and we're going to get to the 49ers. It's like, you know, he could be anything, right? I mean, he could be benched. It's like, we don't even know. But the main guy who I have trouble clicking Herbert's name over is the two guys who go right behind him, which are Lamar and Mahomes. You're getting about a 10 to 15 pick discount on those guys. And I view their ranges of outcomes pretty similarly. The one thing where you would really want to take Herbert, though, is if you do select Mike Williams, who does go pretty early in these leagues, because if Mike Williams has a great season, we're thinking that's going to include lots of touchdowns, down the field throws. And I view those guys as really heavily correlated. But in general, Herbert of the elite quarterback groups is the guy I have selected the least of, because I just think he's a smidge overpriced.
Okay, fair enough. Chargers, as we've talked about, usually are overpriced. And that brings us to our next conversation. The Chargers running back, Davis, through decades and decades, not quite as good as Denver, but through decades, has always been a coveted piece in fantasy football. And this year, it's back to Austin Eckler again. Interestingly enough, somebody had asked me about a dynasty trade the other day with him involved. I did not realize he's pushing 30 pretty quickly here. 911 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. He's fantastic out of the backfield. He's a wonderful person, too. I mean, we love talking. I mean, he loves fantasy football, and I would never say anything negative about this guy, because he is fun. He keeps us updated with his status and things like that. But I guess I don't have a question about his ability this year. I don't know how many more times he can do what he's done, but the injuries definitely have been a factor. And then all of a sudden that opens up the door for another running back in Los Angeles. So I just simply wonder, Davis, do you think that he can stay healthy? Because simply put, over the years, he's not been able to.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is pretty strong. He really has only missed time in one season. He only played 10 games in 2020, but he's played every game of his career other than that. Now, granted, his first two years in the NFL, his time there was coinciding with Melvin Gordon, which is kind of why we forget why it would be a little bit surprising that he is already 27. Is he? You know, he's already entering into his sixth year in the NFL, but those first 2 years, he just wasn't really a part of the offense a ton. He's been really good on a per touch basis, obviously, in his NFL career. The worry you would have about Eckler is that the entire time he has been the lead back of the Chargers, they have tried to bring in other guys to just, you know, make it so that he doesn't have to stay on the field, you know, for every down. Kalen Ballage, Justin Jackson, Josh Kelly, Larry Roundtree. I mean, they've tried all these guys. They draft Isaiah Spiller in the fourth round of the NFL draft this year. Spiller, unfortunately, suffers an ankle injury in the preseason. Unclear if he's going to be ready for week one. And a huge part of Eckler's value does come from touchdowns. You know, this is actually true, kind of surprising. He led the NFL in touchdowns last season. 20 touchdowns was the most of any player in the NFL last season. if you scale him back to something like 10 or 11 touchdowns, now obviously he's a first round pick, so the expectation is double digit touchdowns. He doesn't look quite as good. He's kind of just like a discount version of Christian McCaffrey, where you're really hoping that most of his work comes as a receiver. Last year, 94 targets, 70 receptions, 650 yards, 8 touchdowns as a receiver. If he's able to duplicate that and doesn't lose, you know, goal line work to any of these guys, Kelly, Spiller, maybe even Herbert himself, I think he's a fine selection where he goes. For me, he's the clear sixth pick, though, after Jonathan Taylor, after McCaffrey, Cup, Jefferson, and Chase. But I do think he is a very good sixth pick.
All right, so let's talk about Spiller here a little bit. You mentioned he's been on and off the field here in the preseason, and it does look like, at least from what I'm reading here before the show, that there still is a chance that he could be ready for the beginning of the season. But the way this certainly has trended with a rookie is, I mean, Davis, they're not going to take any chances with a kid like this. They'll wait 4 weeks if they have to get him ready. You know, basically the 50th running back off the board, not being drafted in the top 200 in some. Chargers backup running back has to be drafted, I think. I mean, you just have to just put that guy on the bench and hope and wait. Is he that guy?
Well, I mean, I definitely think they want him to be that guy, right? And that's kind of one of those interesting questions is what happens in a situation where a team wants someone to be the guy, but maybe they're not exactly ready. I mean, I think we see that with Denver right now, Albert O and Greg Dulcich. They want Greg Dulcich to be their starting tight end, but he's not healthy. I think the Chargers want Isaiah Spiller to be their second running back, but he's not healthy right now. And he's kind of an interesting case, a huge faller at the NFL Combine. So he was a three-year player in college. He worked as a receiver. He was a really good running back, you know, 25 rushing touchdowns, had 10 touchdowns as a true freshman. That's pretty hard to do in the SEC. You just don't see a ton of guys like that, but really did not have a good combine, you know, ran slower than expected, less weight than just one of those guys who was a big faller. All that being said, I do think right now with how cheap he's gotten, you can get him in the 14th, 15th round. I do think he is a really good selection because he would probably be the guy were Eckler to be injured.
Okay. And who's going just outside the top 200? Like, I know, you know, Kelly, you may, who's even on the Chargers? Roundtree still there?
Yeah, Roundtree's still there. I expect he'll probably get cut today or tomorrow because I think Kelly has won that job over him. And I think Kelly is actually worth a stab in these leagues as well.
Okay. All right. So that's our look at the Chargers quarterbacks and running backs. And up next here on Fantasy Sports Today, we dive into the valuable wide receivers on the Los Angeles Chargers. We mentioned Justin Herbert pushing 40 touchdown passes in a season. Imagine that becomes close to 50. That means a lot of targets to go around at both sides on the offense, maybe somebody over the middle, maybe even a tight end here in 2022. So we will dive into that coming up next as well. Also, a reminder, each and every day as we preview one team in fantasy football, you can get this archived for you. For example, we've touched on every team from A to L thus far over the last 3 weeks. Just go to sportsgrid.com, even go to our YouTube page. You can check all of our previews out. We'll keep going right up until September the 8th on opening night, as we'll keep you updated here on Fantasy Football, no doubt. So stay on the grid, as we'll be back with more Chargers discussion right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as our preview of the Los Angeles Chargers continues here on Sports Grid. Let's take a look at the average draft position in the National Fantasy Football Championships of a lot of the Chargers before your upcoming draft this weekend. We have Austin Eckler, who checks in as the third overall pick in terms of average draft position. Keenan Allen at 28, Justin Herbert at 36, Mike Williams at 50, and Isaiah Spiller, who we just discussed, just inside the top 200. All right, so now let's go over to the receiver position on the Chargers, Davis. And naturally, this is going to be very coveted because if there's 50 touchdowns going around, someone's got to get them. Keenan Allen, the ageless wonder, is back for yet another season in Los Angeles. I feel like he probably played with Drew Brees, if I want to go back and check this. I know he played with Rivers, clearly. 1,100 yards last year. six touchdowns, being drafted essentially in the second round of fantasy football drafts. So, you know, when it ends for players, Davis. We all know that. I guess the question is, does the show roll on for Keenan Allen? Are you willing to take that chance?
I mean, I think he's fine where he goes. I definitely slightly prefer T. Higgins and A.J. Brown to him in that wide receiver 10, 11, 12, 13 range. Keenan Allen last season, he just did what Keenan Allen does. Another 100 reception season, another 1,000-yard season. He has never had a double-digit touchdown season in his career. Entering into his age 30 season, I don't expect that this is going to be his, you know, one and only double-digit touchdown season. He's very good in full point PPR formats, a little bit worse in half point PPR formats. I feel though that Keenan Allen is generally not a pick you make when you're trying to win your league. You know, kind of feels like playing for third, playing for fourth. You know exactly what he's going to do. He's very unlikely to, you know, do what Cooper Kupp did last season, do what Justin Jefferson did last season. He's generally targeted very close to the line of scrimmage. He plays a lot out of the slot. You know, has a lower average depth of target than most truly elite fantasy football wide receivers, and all that's kind of priced in. Generally speaking, though, for your team, you would prefer him to be your second wide receiver, not your first wide receiver. I'm not going to tell anyone not to take him, and certainly this version of Justin Herbert, a more aggressive quarterback than he's ever played with, and, you know, probably the most skilled quarterback that he's ever played with, more skilled than Phillip Rivers, I think. But I don't know, just early in the draft, it just kind of feels like settling on him, you know, like it just, if you're taking a guy early in your draft who you don't think can score 10 touchdowns, it just doesn't feel optimal to me.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. I think so. And look, PPR formats, obviously that's where Allen really shines. No doubt he's Keenan Allen, usually good for winning one game for you a year with like some crazy amount of catches and yards. It seems like that happens every year. All right. So last year, Davis, when we got to October in fantasy football, it looked like maybe the best pick in the entire draft was Mike Williams, the wide receiver on the Los Angeles Chargers. People were like jumping up and down. I got this guy in Dynasty. He's going to be great for a million years. I got him and Herbert. And look, make no mistake about it, his season was excellent. But if I am thinking this correctly, it was excellent at the beginning and then softened as the season went on. So I'm wondering what you think, if he can sustain this for the whole season, or just simply what you think happened. How would you describe his season last year?
Well, what happened was that he got a knee injury in, I believe it was week 6, and he was absolutely crushing up to that point in the season. He had an 8 for 165, 7 for 122, multiple 2-touchdown games. Then he suffered a knee injury against the Baltimore Ravens in week 6. And really was never the same after that. Only one 100-yard game after that. Only 3 touchdowns after that. So really did the majority of his work the first 5 weeks of the season. When you look at the way that Mike Williams plays, a knee injury, not going to be good for him, right? I mean, he's a fast guy. He plays down the field. I think Mike Williams is a fascinating player because he's pretty much done it all. He has led the NFL in yards per reception. He has had multiple 100 target seasons. He's had a double-digit touchdown season. And, you know, one thing that we definitely have to realize when analyzing players like this is NFL seasons are not a comprehensive sample. We talk about fantasy baseball in this show, and, like, we get 162 games of watching these guys play, and we get a really good idea of what their true talent level is. But that's just, I mean, guys can go multiple seasons of their career being great, run bad with injuries, run bad with schedule, like just all kinds of weird, small variance things impact how we feel about these guys. But this is what I do know about Mike Williams. He gets the right type of targets that we want in fantasy football. He's going to lead the Chargers in average depth of target, but that doesn't come with the corresponding lack of volume. Generally, guys who have his yard.
I think we may have lost Davis here. Yeah, I think we may have lost Davis here in his audio. We'll get back to Davis in just a second. But Davis was making a fair point, I think, no doubt, that, I mean, look, when Williams can extend the field and get his, you know, 18, 19 yards per catch, there is some consequence with that, which is sometimes he's not going to have those very high volume games. And that's something that we'll definitely have to keep an eye on with him. But naturally, as his ADP speaks to, he's the 19th wide receiver being drafted and ADP of 50 overall. So essentially going as a fourth round pick with Mike Williams. Now, let's continue on talking about the Los Angeles Chargers, and let's focus on one of their other sort of boom or bust wide receivers. And let's take a look at Josh Palmer, who last year was very much that, a receiver who essentially could go down the field, he could catch a deep pass, he could score a touchdown, but inevitably he was not somebody that would really get a lot of volume over the course of the season. And so when I look at Palmer, he's somebody that I think that could step up big if one of the wide receivers as the starter gets injured. But otherwise, I don't know that, Davis, I want to be spending early draft capital on someone that I'm sort of waiting for an injury from. So, Davis, I see some, you know, 2 for 55 and a 30-yard touchdowns in Josh Palmer's future. I see a nice dynasty league player here maybe for the future as well. I think they had another guy named Guyton, if I'm not mistaken, last year. But what do you make of Palmer's opportunities this year? Will there be more for him? Is there enough for him in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there probably is for a couple reasons. The first being, I think he will very likely beat Jalen Guyton out for the third wide receiver job. Guyton has just really been an empty calories guy in his time, which is, you know, I mean, like the fact that he even made the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of North Texas, that's pretty good. But he is, you know, he just runs nine routes. He clears out. And the Chargers have had lots of guys like this in their offense for like the last 4 years. Jason Moore was one of them. Andre Roberts. They just had lots of guys who run up the field, never get targeted, and clear out the space for Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And I think that we are going to see a change in the Los Angeles Chargers offense this year because they don't really have a tight end worth targeting. You know, they've had Jared Cook, who they gave targets to. I, along with you, not really a big Gerald Everett guy. So I would expect Palmer to finish the season with the fourth most targets on the Chargers behind the two big wide receivers and Austin Ekeler. The big difference, though, is I think Palmer, probably of any wide receiver in the league, has the most to gain with an injury. The two games where Keenan Allen missed one game and Mike Williams missed one game. So he had two games where he played greater than 50% of the snaps for the Chargers. The first game was against the Giants, 5 for 66 and a touchdown. The next game was against the Texans, 5 for 43 and a touchdown. I mean, he basically just came in and was a starting wide receiver for the Chargers when one of those guys missed time. Both of them, you know, Mike Williams missed time with the knee injury last year. Keenan Allen has had lower body injuries a couple times in his career, also getting to be the age of 30. I wonder if Keenan Allen sees a lower snap share. You know, now they try and manage him a little bit, kind of like what I think the Chiefs are going to do with Travis Kelce, where, you know, when the game is not close anymore, that they are going to be rotating Kelce out, not necessarily worried about getting him his numbers. I think we could see a similar thing with Keenan Allen and the Chargers. So I think Palmer is a really interesting guy, especially just because he's so cheap.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, maybe somebody you draft at the end and just wait to see if something happens. Nothing wrong with that. And I think that's where Palmer's falling in very late in fantasy football draft. 69th wide receiver taken there. All right, let's go to tight end for the Chargers. Well, if you don't have Jared Cook, who is the ultimate tight end mercenary, I think Gerald Everett is the new tight end mercenary right now because I think he's playing his third team in 3 years. It was the Rams. It was Seattle, I think. Now it's the Chargers. Yeah, I'm not taking this player in any fantasy football draft, Davis. So I am wondering, is there a player behind him that is going to be a hot waiver wire pickup at some point for me this year?
Were Gerald Everett to get injured or just be so obviously, you know, past it, not a good blocker, not, you know, not doing anything in the receiving game. Like if the Chargers just decide, you know, like you and I, that they are just not interested in playing Gerald Everett, I am very interested in Donald Parham, who has six touchdowns in his career on only 47 targets. He did scupper. He had that very scary like neck pinch injury on Monday Night Football last year where he got like he was paralyzed for a second, but apparently has come back to training camp. Everything has been fine. He was the leading wide receiver in the XFL 2 years ago when they had that. And I think that he is pretty talented, pretty skilled. I to be honest, if I was the Chargers, I probably would not have signed Gerald Everett. I probably would have just said, you know, we'll sign maybe a more blocking style tight end, you know, Eric Tomlinson from the Ravens or something like that, and had Parham as our primary receiving tight end. I actually have been taking quite a few stabs on him because I do think with full playing time, he could pretty easily be a top 10 tight end in this offense.
Yeah, I like that idea. I thought Parham was good. You're right. I remember a lot of touchdowns for him at the end of last year. Okay, any names, Davis, real quick, 30 seconds that we have not talked about that you've drafted? Any names?
Yeah, I mean, it would be Josh Kelly. We talked about Guyton, but not really anyone to get excited about.
All right, fair enough. That's our preview of the Los Angeles Chargers right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be back again tomorrow taking a look at the Rams. It's my guess, Los Angeles, right? Fantasy Reality's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, unfortunately, some really sad and shocking news from the NFL yesterday as Washington Commanders running back, in case you missed it, Brian Robinson, was shot. And boy, my gosh, like an attempt at robbery. And you just don't see this very often amongst professional athletes. And Davis, you know, covering the human side of this is one thing, but obviously we're a fantasy show, so we do cover the fantasy aspect of this as well. And Ron Rivera has told reporters that he's expected to make a full recovery. He's expected to be okay. The natural question I know that some of you are going to be asking is out there as far as, hey, look, you know, I do have a fantasy football draft coming up. What do I do here? I see Ian Rappaport sort of tweeting that he's expected to play at some point this season. But we do cover fantasy, Davis, and naturally have to keep it real. It looks like at this point, may want to, hope for the best in terms of his health, but not really expect anything in terms of on the field this year. Just a terrible situation all around.
Yeah, I did see that Brian Robinson posted on Instagram this morning that surgery went well. He's already out, going home. So that is solid. It's like, you know, getting really into the nitty gritty. He did receive a bullet wound in his hip and his upper thigh. So that seems like maybe a not great place to get shot if you are an NFL running back. You know, you're pretty reliant on that part of your body. Of course, we wish him well in his recovery. Very glad that did not end up being a life-threatening situation. But, I think the response here is to not expect him to play this season. I mean, maybe he does. Maybe he's able to get through his PT and have this miraculous recovery. That certainly would be great. The Commanders, I think, had a role set out for him. Mm-hmm. But I think clearly the indication now is that Gibson, who was basically the biggest faller in fantasy football drafts, sixth, seventh, eighth round. I mean, it's like he was already kind of a good contingent value guy anyways, where he was going. I did a draft this weekend. He lasted until the 11th round. I mean, if you paid those prices, you're feeling pretty good. But I think he's kind of in the Tony Pollard, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders grouping of guys now, and he was going a little bit after those guys.
All right, that makes sense. By the way, for all breaking news updates and sports betting updates as well, follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. That will give you all kinds of information throughout this football season, whether it is fantasy football, whether it is sports wagering. Again, follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, it's time for fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, some exciting college football in week one. I think the most exciting game was probably the first game played. The last game played, certainly, I don't know if you caught it, was not very exciting. Vanderbilt, I believe, beat Hawaii like 63-10 or somewhere along those lines. My gosh, I'm glad that I did not fall into that trap of taking Hawaii into the morning on Sunday morning. Nonetheless, some blowouts, by the way, too. Florida Atlantic blew out Charlotte. But hey, you know, you live in a spot, Davis, where I think you could probably find a way to place a bet, fantasy or reality. You won a bet on college football this season. Well, the season's short, so this past week.
Yeah, reality. I bet the over on Casey Thompson passing yards. I think he might have won that by halftime. Casey Thompson, of course, the transferred quarterback from the University of Texas. Now, I am not a Nebraska guy. I love to see love to see Nebraska, you know, losing in a hilarious fashion. Just really warms my heart. You know, really, when you see Nebraska blowing leads, that's how you know college football season has returned. I don't love betting sides and totals in college football that much. I have a looser grasp on who is good, who is bad, anything like that. But yeah, reality did win a bet the opening weekend of college football, so feeling good.
All right. Fantasy for me. Can't bet legally here in Florida yet. Could find some other options. I don't know. Can I reveal that here on the show? I'm not even sure that I can based on the kind of restrictions that we have. I'm going to say fantasy here for sure. Did watch a lot of college football. Very much looking forward to this week seeing my Gators take on Utah, I believe it is, at home, if I'm not mistaken. I think that is the deal. So I'm very much looking forward to this week and week one of college football and seeing everything back. And then the NFL the following Thursday. So we are right up upon it. But no, unfortunately, this is a fantasy to start, fantasy or reality for me. All right. The big moves at the Major League Baseball trade deadline were all made by the San Diego Padres. Let's be honest. Or at least most of them were made by the Padres. They acquired Juan Soto. And the shock, maybe more of a shock at the deadline, was the Milwaukee Brewers taking who arguably has been the best closer in baseball over the past, I don't know, Davis, 5 years probably. Unhittable, even this season, in Josh Hader, and trading him over to the San Diego Padres. A lot of people scratched their heads. We saw interviews with the Brewers clubhouse. Davis, the players were all upset. Why are we trading Josh Hader? This doesn't make any sense. And then he goes to the Padres, and Davis, this dude cannot get anybody out. Like, I don't even know what's going on here. But regardless, let's ask the question. Let's see if we can figure it out. Fantasy reality, the Padres regret trading for Hader.
I mean, yeah, this has got to be a total reality, and this is like such a cautionary tale. And I mean, Craig, we see this every year. How often do we see formerly great reliever traded at the deadline to a team in contention, and then he doesn't pitch that well? And there are, you know, a lot of reasons for this. The first being that it's hard to gauge true talent level for relievers because we just don't have a good sample. I mean, imagine freaking out over 60 bad innings from Gerrit Cole. You're getting half of that from a reliever, you know, by the time that they are traded. Like, did Hader even have 35 appearances this season for the Milwaukee Brewers before he got traded? Like, I would guess if I went to go look at it, he probably did not. Max reliever appearances in a season is going to be like 80. Maybe you get to 90 inning pitch from like a really good, you know, kind of historically great reliever. And obviously, you know, there's a big difference between like the Mariano Riveras and stuff, but even guys who have been great in our memory, I mean, Aroldis Chapman has just been getting tattooed this year, right? Like a guy who we would have said is maybe the absolute best at his craft. So this is just something that we see it at the trade deadline all the time, is teams that are in contention trade for a reliever, the reliever comes over, runs bad for a couple appearances, then it gets in his head, then his confidence is shaking up. He's expect like, and you know, there's so much confidence that goes in to being a relief pitcher because you come into the highest leverage situations for these teams that every inning, every game matters for them. I would say as of right now, they probably regret it. But you could see a situation where they sneak into the postseason. He ends up, you know, being a total shutdown guy, pitches 3 days in a row or something like that. So it, but yeah, definitely right now, this is a reality.
Yeah, he's under contract for next year too. So this is a situation, Davis, where if things just don't go right for the Padres, it could just end for him this year. And I would guess that he would come back and be the guy that he was before. So, you know, I think that there is some regret here now. But I've always said that I really feel like the Padres were poised more for 2023 than 2022. I do think they're going to make the postseason. They're just so far up. I don't see a scenario where they wouldn't. So I feel like there is some regret here. But Davis, the point you make is really the accurate one. You know, when you give Kenley Jansen 5 years and $50 million and it works out, you should champion it. But like, he's the only one, you know, like it doesn't work out. Like, these things never work out with the relievers. And, you know, Liam Hendricks, who was fantastic, remember in fantasy baseball, always the number one bullpen guy. How has that worked out? I mean, he's been okay, but not great. Like, and the same thing could be said for Hader. There just simply is not a lot of data that points to long-term success for any closer in baseball. You have Mariano Rivera, you have Kenley Jansen, you had Craig Kimbrell for a number of years, but there's three out of like hundreds. It never ends up working out. And that was, by the way, you used the word tattoo with Chapman. I don't know if you mentioned
that. Right, that's funny.
yeah, getting tattooed. He got, you know, infected from getting a tattoo. So that was a pretty good pun there too as well. So regret. Yeah, I think they regret it now. I don't think they'll regret it next year. I think the offseason, they'll figure it out. They'll get him right. All right, finally, let's go over to the podcast world. Anytime Aaron Rodgers does any sort of media, it's always at least intriguing, to say the least. I know some people are sick of hearing him talk. I don't know, Davis, if you're in that category as well. But Joe Rogan podcast, regardless of what you think about Joe Rogan, his podcast is very entertaining. He gets a lot of very big guests, and it's always in the top three, I think, if not higher, of people who are listening to his podcast. Every time I go to iTunes, it seems to be the number one, number two, or number three there. Fantasy Reality, you listen to Aaron Rodgers, his appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast this weekend.
Yeah, no, this is a fantasy, not a Joe Rogan guy. Have never listened to the show. Just doesn't in general really appeal to me. You know, his audience is, I am not in his target demographic, which is fine. I also don't really like, Aaron Rodgers. I just think that he's annoying, have made a lot of money the last couple of years betting against Rodgers in big spots, you know, was on the San Francisco money line last year, was on the Tampa Bay money line in the NFC Conference Championship game. So have been fortunate in those spots. I will say though, I was definitely more interested in anything Rodgers has had to say the last couple of years than when he was talking about drinking ayahuasca tea and like opening his third eye. That I'm all on board with that stuff. But most of Aaron Rodgers, you know, just opinions and like, he's just a weird guy, which I guess maybe I should celebrate, right? Just like more weird guys in the NFL, because most NFL players are the most boring dudes alive, right? Like, you talk to an average NFL player and they just got nothing going on. And like, part of that is calculated by the league too. Like, you know, the league kind of wants these guys to be that way. And, you know, the big difference between baseball, basketball is these guys have a helmet on. You can't see them. So we learn less about their personalities while they're playing. But yeah, fantasy did not listen to Aaron Rodgers on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, I did not. I would tell you that every day when I'm exercising, I will pop on the YouTube, by the way, to see who Joe Rogan talked to, because then I get like 5 minutes of those clips, Davis, as opposed to an hour or even an hour and a half. So I will listen occasionally. I did not listen to this weekend, so I cannot say that I have. Maybe I will catch some of it. It's possible, but more likely I would say on YouTube than me popping in the podcast and popping in the ear pods and listening to that as well. One quick note here from the NFL, Davis, Brett Kern, who a lot of people won't know because they don't pay attention to punters, but he was one of the better punters in the NFL the last decade. The Titans are cutting him. I think that's a pretty significant one.
That is. I mean, the Broncos just cut the guy who was expected to win their starting job as well. Feels like a tumultuous offseason for punters. I'm glad that the Chiefs will bringing back we're bringing back our long-haired surfer dude punter Tommy Townsend. So glad that we have that locked. I mean, we're about to. I think we are going to see some surprise names cut over the next 20. Like, I wouldn't surprise me if Mark Ingram gets cut by the Saints. I think the Chiefs are going to cut Ronald Jones. I think the Jaguars are probably going to cut Laviska Shenault, although they did just cut Laquan Treadwell, so maybe that'll save Shenault's job. But I think it's been too quiet. Just in general, it has been too quiet. I think we're gonna and the Browns, by the way, I would put it at like 60% they trade one of Kareem Hunt or Dearness Johnson.
Wow, that would be the biggest one of all if that ended up happening. The problem is that we only have three preseason games, and the guys are only playing in one. We literally have no idea what's going on. And you could see that sometimes in training camp, the preseason. We can't see it now. So anything is going to come as a surprise, unlike the last 20 years of NFL preseasons. But definitely we'll be on that tomorrow. I have a feeling we'll have a lot to talk about. All right, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't forget, we have a brand new edition of Newswire coming your way in just about 2 hours from now. I'll be with you at 2 o'clock Eastern right here on Sports Grid. But before we get out of here for today, let's turn it over to Davis on this Monday and get his Sports Grid 60.
There's this really unique phenomenon. It does happen every year in fantasy football, really late in the drafting season, you know, last 2 weeks, last 10 days. The market kind of doesn't know what to do with these late risers, Damian Pierce for the Texans being one of them, Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots being the other one. You know, and I think Antonio Gibson is going to fall under this criteria as well. And what is kind of interesting, I've kind of looked into this in years past, is those late risers actually generally don't end up rising enough. Darrell Henderson, great example from last season. You know, he was the top 10 running back until he got injured, but was kind of like a round 3-4 turn pick. So just keep that in mind as we head into the final week of drafting, is sometimes those guys who you feel like you're reaching on do end up being some of the best values in your fantasy football draft.
Yep, very well said. Fantasy football drafts coming up for a lot of you this weekend for sure. Also, college football is coming up this weekend. Week one, not just this handful of games that we saw last weekend, but a full slate. But a cautionary tale about what it means to have sports back, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, is the massive overreactions that go into every piece of minutia in the first game of the season. For example, how many tweets were sent out halfway through the game that Casey Thompson was a dark horse for Nebraska's Heisman Trophy? How about the ones saying that, hey, Nebraska, maybe they were underrated going into the season. They are back. Probably wouldn't happen over the course of week five, week six, week seven, but get ready for more of that coming with college football this weekend, and get ready for that in the first night of the NFL for sure. That'll do it for the program. Thanks again to our friends at LTN and our great graphics department. Thanks to our producer, Brett Levy, for my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. The early line coming up next. Newswire, 2 o'clock Eastern. I hope to see you there.